and he has been marking with his contributions a lot of topics in a decisive manner. Without being exhaustive, one has to refer to his results on stochastic partial differential equations, his contributions to the stochastic analysis with anticipation, several of them with David Noualard, his pioneering works together with Shigepang on backward STEs and their relation with PDEs, and in the case of doubly backward STEs with stochastic partial differential equations, his important contributions to homogenization, and among them, also his works with Martin Heirer. More recent research works are also motivated by their background in biology, namely in stochastic epidemic models. And Etienne Padoux can refer at Zentralblatt für Mathematik to 178 publications since 1972, including 8 books and a long list of co-authors. Okay, so I think we can pass now to the talk, and Etienne, he will speak about epidemic models with varying infectivity and varying susceptibility.
Thank you very much, Rainer. Thanks the organizers for this invitation. So I'm happy to tell you about a series of recent work which have conducted with Guodong Pang, okay, it's from within the US, Raphaël Faurien in Avignon, and Arsène Brice Zotsad-Ngoufak, a student of us. Okay, so I will speak about epidemic models with varying effectivity and varying immunity susceptibility. Okay, but first it will be only varying effectivity. Oops. Something goes wrong. Okay, so let me start by quoting Kermack and McKendrick, two pioneers. So in 1927, almost a century ago, Kermack and McKendrick published a paper which proposed an SIR, so S susceptible, I infected or infectious, and R like recovered or removed, model of propagation of epidemic diseases, with an infection age dependent infectivity and infection age dependent recovery rate. In that paper, they treated also a special case of constant infectivity and constant recovery rate. That paper was quoted, according to what I found on the web, approximately 11,000 times, but almost all successors of these pioneers considered only the model with constant rates, which is a simple ODE model. As we shall see below, the general model involves an integral equation of Volterra type or convolution type equation, or alternatively, it can be formulated as a PDE. Okay, so let me first discuss the issue of constant versus non-constant recovery rate. So let I denote the length of the infectious period of a typical individual. So if we decide that the probability that I is larger than T is e to the minus mu T with mu a fixed parameter, then this means, of course, that I follows the exponential distribution of the parameter mu. Now let T give mu of T be a measurable function from Laplace into itself, which is such that the integral from 0 to infinity of mu of T dt is plus infinity. And we assume now that the probability that pi is larger than T is now e to the minus integral from 0 to t of mu of s ds. So it's clearly a generalization of the first case. Now it is easy to see, very elementary calculation, that I, the random variable I, has a density f of t equals mu of t times e to the minus integral from 0 to t of mu of s ds. Conversely, given a probability density f on R plus, we can define its hazard function as mu of t equal to f of t divided by integral from t to infinity of f of s ds. And then we have, then necessarily, if the random variable is e, then we have this formula. Now, assuming that the individuals recover at an infection age dependent rate allows to choose an arbitrary distribution for the density for the duration of the infectious period. Okay, let me very quickly recall you about Poisson process and Poisson random measures. So you all know that a standard rate one Poisson process is a process with independent increments, which is such that for any less than T, P of T minus P of S follows the Poisson T minus S distribution. So if P is a standard Poisson process, then P, P of T, then P of lambda T is a rate lambda Poisson process, and P of integral from 0 to T of lambda of SDS is a rate lambda of T Poisson process. Now, suppose that Q is a standard Poisson random measure on R2 plus. What do I mean by that? I mean that Q is a sum of Dirac measures at random points. The number of points in disjoint subsets are mutually independent, and the number of points in the Borel set A follows the Poisson distribution with parameter Lebesgue measure of A. So standard means with mean measure being the Lebesgue measure. Okay, so if Q is such a Poisson random measure, then the integral from 0 to T, integral from 0 to infinity of indicator U less than or equal to lambda of S Q of DS DU is a rate lambda of T Poisson process. Now, we have a law of large numbers which says that as capital N goes to infinity, 1 over N P of NT goes to converges to T almost surely locally uniformly in T. Okay, for the result for fixed T is just the usual, is a trivial consequence of the usual law of large numbers. The fact that the convergence is locally uniform in T is very simply to prove by using the fact it is the name of the author doesn't come to my mind, but the fact that these functions are increasing and the limit is continuous, using those, it's very easy to show that the convergence is affect locally uniform in T. It is Dini's theorem. I think it is the second Dini's theorem that uniform locally uniform convergence. Okay, now let me first consider the case of the of Markov stochastic models. So I consider a stochastic model for an SIR epidemic, where the number of at each time t is the number of susceptible plus the number of affected individuals plus the number of recovered or removed individual is capital N, is fixed, doesn't depend upon t. And I suppose that each infectious individual meets others at rate lambda. And with probability, the proportion of susceptibles in the population, which is Sn of t divided by t, the individual who is met is susceptible, which is the probability that the individual who is met is susceptible. In that case, the encounter results in a new infection. And moreover, I assume that the duration of the infectious period of each individual is an exponential mu random variable. Then, if P inf and P rec are indeed mutually independent standard Poisson processes, it is easy to see that what I have just described in words here can be exactly described by mathematical formulas as follows. So the number of susceptible individuals at time t is the number of susceptible individuals at time zero minus the number of those who have been infected on the time interval zero t okay, with those assumptions, it must be this. And so now the number of infectious individual at time t is the number of those at time zero plus those who have been infected between zero and t minus those who have recovered, who have switched from the infectious compartment to the recovered or removed compartment. And that happens with rate mu. So I get this for the flow of new recovered individuals. And so the number of recovered individuals at time t is the number of those who were recovered already at time zero plus p rec of mu integral from 0 to t of I n of sds. Now I can assume that this is zero because those who were recovered at time zero, they don't play any role in the epidemic. So I take them out. I can take them out of the population. Okay, now if I consider the proportions, so I divide Sn of t, In of t, In of t by n, I consider the proportions of susceptible infectious recovered individuals at each time t, then it is easy. I mean, I won't give you the data, but it's really a very simple exercise. So if you divide by n those three equations and you exploit the law of large numbers I just recalled concerning Poisson processes, then it is easy to see that the limit of those proportions as n goes to infinity solves the following well-known SIR ODE model. So this is one of the most famous models which most people are using in case of SIR epidemic. So the derivative of the proportion of susceptibles is minus lambda times the product S bar I bar. The derivative of the number of the proportion of infectious is just the opposite of this one, minus the flow towards recovered, and dr bar dt is mu I bar. Okay, so this is very simple, very well known. Of course, it's not very satisfactory because this assumption that the duration of the infectious period be exponential is really not realistic. So if we we go back to the general model of Kamak-McKendrick, but first for a minute, I keep the fixed infectivity lambda during an infectious period of length I, where the law of the duration of that infectious period is arbitrary. So the distribution function is called capital F of t. And of course, I can, as I explained earlier, I can, if I define mu of t to be, I suppose that f is the law of f of I has density, it's not necessary, but to simplify the formulation, then I can write the duration, I can write this formula, and I have a range which depends upon the time since infection. This is exactly what is proposed by Kamak-McKendrick. And so this model, of course, is non-Markov unless mu is constant, unless the law of I is an exponential distribution. The model is non-Markov. And the limit of the proportions now obeys the following Volterra-type equation. You see that here we have a function of t minus s, t being the upper bound of the integral, and here also. So you see that the random process here being non-Markov means that we have memory. The model has a memory from the past. And this model is a model with memory, the deterministic model with memory, in the sense that if I give you S bar of T, I bar of T, R bar of T, you cannot compute the future of the solution of that equation without knowing the past. Because if you take the difference of with two different t's, I mean, because of the t here, it makes a difference. Okay, by the way, I forgot to explain. You see here, this is f0 of t and f0c of t. Okay, I use always the formula that fc of t is 1 minus f of t. Now, those who were infected at the initial time t equals zero are thought of as being infected back in the past for at negative time. And therefore, the law of given that they are still infectious at time zero, the law of the remaining duration of the infectious period in general is different from F zero is different from F. Except in the exponential distribution, is if that law is that of the exponential distribution, because of the well-known property of the lack of memory of the exponential distribution. But in general, because I want to forget about the exponential distribution, this F0 should be different from F. Okay, and we also have a central limit theorem, which says that if I take the difference S bar n minus S bar, I multiply by square root of n, I define similarly I hat n and I r hat n. If those quantities converge at time zero, then we have the following convergence to Gaussian process. Okay. But probably I forgot to explain what is this MH, but okay. Oops. Yes, okay, I'm sorry. The statement is, the biggest part of the statement is missing. Sorry, it's something is wrong with this slide. Anyway, there is a central limit theorem. Okay. Now let me give you one illustration concerning, okay, one question now is, of course, you can say that this model is more complicated than the more classical ODE model, in particular because there is this memory effect, which I detailed. Now you can discuss, okay, is it worth to do this, to use those more complicated models or not? In particular, I will not discuss this in the during the talk, but if you compare with ODE model, in fact, the large time behavior is very similar. However, the transitory behavior is different. You see, this concerns the COVID epidemic in France during the year 2020, and so it starts in February. This is the day when lockdown was decided in France. Like lockdown measure was imposed to the French population, and you see that this is the evolution. Okay, I mean the very irregular curve is the evolution of the number of hospital deaths. I mean, this was the only data which was reliable over a certain length of time in France in that period, because we had no tests essentially. Now, if you use a Markov model, then and you try to adapt the Markov model to the data, the problem is that because of the lack of memory, you see that what happens, the deaths in that period, in the few weeks after the start of the lockdown, owes very much to how was the epidemic before lockdown. So there is, in reality, the true epidemic has a memory, like in the model which I was proposing, while the Markov model has no memory. If you follow the Markov model, you have a strong discontinuity in the derivative and you have this behavior. Okay. Now, of course, if you look at the papers written by those who use ODE models, in fact, of course, their models follow much better the data than this red curve. But that is at the price of, you know, this lambda, which is the parameter which tells you the rate of contact inside the population, this lambda, of course, decreased suddenly at the start of the lockdown. Now, if you want the ODE model to follow well the discontinuity due to the start of the lockdown, then you want to decide that lambda does not change suddenly its value, but changes gradually. And so this is a way of, in my opinion, cheating in order to adapt the ODE model to the data. Okay, now, next, you see these are curves which are reproduced from a paper written by Chinese medical doctors in Nature Medicine 2020, and they give you the infectivity of the patient. Time zero is the outcome of the symptom onset, the start of the symptoms, and you see that the infectivity is not constant. So one important thing, and this is one annoying thing with COVID, is that you are most infective before you have symptoms. And this, of course, makes a fight against this disease, this epidemic, more difficult. Okay, suppose now we take this lambda, which is not a constant anymore, it's a function of t. In fact, it's a random function of t with non-negative values. And so here, time zero for this function lambda will be the time when the individual gets infected. So the start of the infection, if you like. So there is a first period of time when the individual is not infectious. He's infected, but not yet infectious. This is called the exposed period. I have not discussed that so far, but now I can include that without complicating my model. And if I define E to be the duration during which lambda is strictly positive, so it's the time what you have to add to E to have the last time when lambda is positive, afterwards it is zero, then we assume that to each individual is attached a copy lambda I of t, where the lambda I are IID random functions, okay, with the same law as this guy. To the initially, as I explained, to the initially infected individuals are attached copies, lambda 0 j of t, now where, okay, here, that function t equals 0 and that function will be the time when the individual gets infected. And here t equals 0 is really the t equals 0 time in the model. Okay, so it is another law for lambda 0 j. We request that lambda belongs almost surely to the Schwarz space D. And unfortunately, we need to assume that the sup of lambda of t is bounded by a given positive constant, finite positive constant. Then we can establish a low large numbers as n goes to infinity of the corresponding individual base model. So I can define the total force of infection as follows. So fn of t is the total force of infection in the population. Okay, those are, you see, from 1 to IN of 0, those are the individuals who were infectious or infected at time 0. And they have an infection at time t after 0. They have infectivity, which is lambda 0 j of t. So we add those infectivities. We get the contribution of the initial infected individuals to the total force of infection at time t in the population. And now there are those who get infected after time zero. So this is here I count individuals from 1 to n of 0. Here I indexes the individuals in the order in which they get infected. So tau n I is the ith infection time of an individual in the population after zero. After time zero. So you see the lambda I starts when its argument is zero. So at time t equals the time of infection. And then it evolves according to what we have said above. And in red here, in the particular case where lambda is a constant, doesn't depend on time, then this total force of infection is just lambda times the number of infectious individuals. And of course, in those models where lambda is constant, you don't need to follow this quantity. You just follow the number of infectious individuals. Okay. And now let an of t count the number of individuals who have been infected on the interval 0 t. Okay. So again, sn of t, in of t, rn of t denote respectively the number of susceptible, infected, and recovered individuals in the population. Here I write infected and not infectious because among those infected, you can have so-called, I don't find the word anymore. Oops, sorry. I'm here. Okay, exposed. Okay, sorry. So among the infected, you have both the exposed and the infectious individuals. Okay. And RNI, those are recovered. They are recovered and immune. So the total population is still fixed over time. Again, I denote by the quantity with bars are proportions, so divided by n. And now, in the above model, so if I the model is essentially fully described by this. Of course, I have not written those number of susceptible infections, but it's not quite fully described because I have to describe the rate at which this increases, but this I will write in a minute. So essentially those proportions converge to those guys, S bar, F bar, I bar, R bar of T, as n goes to infinity. Now I use the notation, okay, for those quantities, bar means proportion. For lambda, bar means expectation. Okay, so lambda bar of t is expectation around lambda of t. Lambda bar zero of t is expectation of lambda zero of t. And f is a distribution function of now e plus I, the duration of exposed plus infectious period. So the total time during which the time between the start, the time of the length of time between the time of infection and the time when the individual gets recovered. So now we have this system of equations. In fact, you see that there is a closed, the two first equations constitute a closed system of equations, okay? And once you have solved this system of equations, then you can compute I bar and R bar by using those explicit formulas. And it is, these are not ODEs, but arguments very similar to the usual argument for ODEs allow us to show that this system has a unique solution. Finally, I want to stress the fact that this system of equations is equivalent to the equations in the 1927 paper of Kermack and McKendrick. And I will not discuss it, but we also have a central limit theorem under more severe assumptions on lambda. By the way, this result, okay, I will give the reference at the end, but this has been shown in a paper published last year by SIAM Applied Math, however, under more restrictive assumptions on lambda. And I will sketch now the proof with those weak assumptions on lambda. Okay, the idea is, you see, the one important thing is to take the limit. We want to take the limit in those quantities divided by n. So one important thing is to take the limit in a n of t, divided by n, I'm sorry, divided by capital N. And okay, so we want to take the limit in this quantity. And for that sake, we compare that quantity with that one, where okay, those are IID. So because they are IID, the convergence of this as n goes to infinity is just so almost essentially the classical Lovrage numbers, except it's for random functions, but it's a classical Lovrage numbers. And the AJ of T are IID copies of the following guy. Okay, so let me define A of t to be integral from 0 to t, integral from 0 to infinity of indicator A of s minus equals 0, indicator u less than or equal to b bar of s minus q of ds du. Now, if b bar were given, then this is a very simple equation, which means that it's not really an equation. It's almost an explicit formula for A, which says that A jumps from 0 to 1 at rate B. It's A is a Poisson. If B is deterministic, which is the case, B bar B is deterministic. A is a Poisson process, which jumps at this rate, this non-constant rate. However, once it has jumped from 0 to 1, it stops there. So there is only one jump. Okay, it's just the first jump of a Poisson. It's a jump, it's a Poisson process until its first jump. However, the difficulty is that B bar is not given a priori. So B bar of t is this quantity plus s bar of zero times expectation of lambda of t minus tau, where tau is the jump time of A. So you see, you have an equation where the law of the solution enters the coefficients of the equation. This is like what many people call Macking-Vlasov equation or mean field equation. Of course, this is very well known and very much studied these days. I guess it was very much popularized some time ago by Alexander Stittmann in his celebrated Saint-Flour notes about the theory of propagation of chaos. And in fact, in a sense, our version of the Lovers number can be interpreted as a kind of propagation of chaos type of result. Okay, let me be a little more precise, but I won't go into the detail of the proof, of course. So if for any j between 1 and Sn of 0, we consider the two processes, the two following processes. So the second one is now, in fact, it can be shown that this equation has a unique solution, and the unique solution is just such that b bar is exactly the f bar, which is the limit in our result. Okay. On the other hand, if I define a and j of t to be that guy, where now I take as a rate here f bar n, so the renormalized total infectivity in the population at time s1, then of course those, and now I couple those two sequences by taking the same qj, where qj is a sequence of, is an IID sequence of Poisson random measures with mean measures, the Lebesgue measure, that is of standard Poisson random measures on R2 plus. So I couple those two sequences by taking the same sequence qj, and now in fact the an of t, which I wrote two slides ago, is just the sum over j of those. Okay, and now, of course, as I already explained, so what we are interested in is taking the limit in this renormalized sequence. Now, the limit in this one is just the law of large numbers. So all we have to show is that the difference goes to zero. And we even can show the difference goes to zero, the sup over t local, I mean, the sup over t between zero and capital T of that difference goes to zero as n goes to infinity. Okay. So now one word about the COVID epidemic. Okay, sorry, this slide is not, I should have corrected it. So this is one, okay. There are many models of the COVID epidemic. This is one which is borrowed from Liu, Magal, and Causes. So they consider a situation where when you are infected, you can either be reported, okay, R here in this model here doesn't mean recovered, but reported or unreported. So in fact, those with serious symptoms, they are reported, and those without serious symptoms are unreported, unless, of course, you make large-scale screening and testing. And of course, when you are reported, you get probably, you are taken aside in a hospital, and you hopefully you do not propagate the illness anymore. But if you are unreported, you continue to propagate the illness. Okay, so this is, this is one version. There are several other versions. But the thing is that we've, and there is the exposed period. The thing is that we can do the same thing with our varying effectivity model. We can do the same thing with only three states. That is, okay, I should not have written E and I. As I already explained, I merged those two compartments in one compartment of infected, infected individuals being first exposed and then infectious. And you just have to take a bimodal law for the function, for the random function lambda of t, And a certain proportion follows something which resembles to this situation, and another proportion, the complementary proportion, follows a law which mimics this part of the flow chart. And in this way, you get the same kind of you have a model which is even more realistic than the original model, which here was a Markov model, I mean ODE model. You have something more realistic, but with much less compartments. In other words, and it's okay, this is in our work, but other people, other group of people have done also similar work. So if you use models which are more complex than classical ODE models, you have something more realistic, and you do it, you achieve it with much less compartments than, so you have a something which is more complicated than an ODE, but the dimension of the of your equation is much lower than the dimension of the usual ODE models when they try to mimic a situation of a given epidemic. Okay, so now I switch. So far, I have discussed only the varying effectivity. I was considering only SIR model. Now I want to discuss the situation where after having been infected, you recover, but when you recover, you get immune, but you are not immune forever. And it's known that, for instance, for the COVID, it's true. You are not immune forever. You can catch the illness a few months, again, a few months later. So, but of course, it means that immunity is not forever. So after being immune, you get susceptible again, but it's sort of intuitively obvious that you should not consider that you switch from full immunity to zero immunity at one time. I mean, you don't jump suddenly from zero susceptibility to one susceptibility. So it's probably something more continuous, more gradual. And this has already proposed by the same people I quoted at the start of my talk, Kermack and McKendrick. Already in 1932, they discussed progressive loss of immunity, that is progressive gain of susceptibility. Now, let's consider the case individual, and let's denote by SK of t the susceptibility of the case individual at time t. So the total susceptibility at time t in the population is just the sum of the susceptibilities of all individuals. And in this model, of course, you are more likely to get infected the more susceptible, the more susceptibility you have to the illness, the more likely you will be infected. So it is natural to decide that if someone in the population gets infected at time t, then the probability is that the individual k is chosen is equal to not the uniform probability among susceptibles, but to sk of t divided by the total susceptibility in the population. Okay? Okay, so now we assume that the ith infected individual after time zero has at time t the susceptibility gamma I of t minus tau n I. So again, tau n I is the time when this set individual gets infected. Okay, so he will be infected, probably first exposed, then infectious, then immune, and then he will become susceptible again with a susceptibility which will increase according to this function. And the initially infected individuals have at time t that susceptibility gamma zero j of t, where the gamma I of t are IID 0-1 valued random functions, which are non-decreasing. It's not absolutely necessary for most of our results, but it's quite natural to assume that susceptibility is non-decreasing and it should satisfy gamma I of t equals zero until the end of the immunity period. So now this is so for a given individual, who gets infected at time zero, okay, zero is just, I mean, you shift everything to zero. So zero here means the time when the individual gets infected. Nothing to do with the start of the epidemic, of course. So there is a first, when you get infected, there is first an exposed period during which your infectivity is zero. Then your infectivity raises. It could be discontinuous, but in fact, most probably it is continuous. Okay, anyway, we don't need to assume that. We don't assume necessarily that it's continuous, but it is probably naturally, it's natural to assume that it's continuous. So it goes up to a certain maximum, and then it decreases, and then the infectivity is zero, and you are during the period in which you are immune, and then at the end of the immunity period, then you start to be susceptible again. So your susceptibility is increasing. Okay. So the important thing to remember that is that those two functions, lambda of T and gamma of T, they cannot be non-zero at the same time. So in fact, first lambda is zero, then it goes up, take positive values, then goes back to zero, be zero during certain period, then is fear. After that time, lambda is zero forever, and gamma starts to be non-zero only after the time when lambda gets zero forever. Okay, so this is the first time when lambda gets positive, and this is the first time when gamma gets positive. Okay. And here in the picture, gamma increases gradually to one. We could assume that it increases to something which is less than one, because we could assume that after having been infected once, you never become fully susceptible. Maybe your susceptibility will never reach the value one. Maybe it will be always a little less than one. Okay, so now, how does the model look like? Okay, so this is the total susceptibility in the population. This is the total force of infection in the population. This is the number of people infected on interval zero T. Okay, so what is the total susceptibility in the population? Okay, so you first look at what at time zero. So at time zero, in time zero in the population, you have those who are initially susceptible, those who are initially infected. Those who are initially susceptible, well, you can assume that their gamma zero K of T is just constant equal to one. Okay, it is one. It is one until they get infected. Okay, until their infection time. So K is just you number all individuals in the population. So you have that susceptibility, which is one for those who have not been infected. For those who are infected, that function is first zero during a certain time, and much later it will go up. And once it goes up, of course, once you are again susceptible, then of course you are likely to get infected, and when you get infected, then you are taken out of this sum. Your susceptibility stops to increase, and it jumps to zero, and then once you are infected, you go into the second sum. Okay, I hope this is clear. Again, here I count all individuals in the population. I look depending on their status, on their compartment at time zero. They have a different gamma zero of K, gamma zero K of T, which could be the constant one for initially susceptible individuals. But this is true only up until they get infected or reinfected. For those who were initially infected, This is the time of first reinfection. Okay, and then there are those who get infected after time zero. So either they were susceptible initially or they were infected initially, but they have lost their immunity. And okay, so they have, okay, now this is the time. This is again time of infection. This is the ice time of infection of some individual in the population after time zero. So here I count, here this is some counting of the population. Here it is counting according to the increasing time of infection of the various individuals. Okay. And again, and this is very, very important that it will introduce some complication in our equations. Of course, this is an increasing function, but this increases up until you get reinfected. Okay, so this is a time of infection of a given individual. Okay, and that individual might, okay, this could be plus infinity, of course, if there is no reinfection, but that individual who has been infected at time tau and I can very well be reinfected later. And when he gets reinfected, then this should be replaced by zero. This is why there is this indicator function. And of course, he enters this sum with some tau and j for j larger than I. Okay, so I hope this is clear. Those indicator functions are extremely important. Now, this is the total force of infection. This is exactly as in the previous model, in the SIR model. And this total force of infection in the population at time t. This is the number of those who have been infected between 0 and t. And those infections come at a rate which is, of course, the total susceptibility times the total infectivity in the population divided by n. Okay, so I hope this is clear. And now the result is that, so I renormalize the two quantities, total susceptibility in the population, total force of infection in the population. And our main result is that as n goes to infinity, that pair converges in probability locally uniformly in T to the unique solution of the following system of equations. So let's first look at the second equation, which looks very much like the one we had before, except that, of course, there is this new quantity, total susceptibility. The total susceptibility, I mean the renormalized because the bar, the renormalized total susceptibility in the population in the case where susceptibility is either 0 and 1 is just a proportion of susceptible individuals in the population. So with this difference, this is the same equation as we had before. Now that one is quite different. So that one is quite new. You see here you have those, you have the gamma 0 of t, which is, as I explained earlier. Of course, those expectations, you see the F bar here. This is deterministic. F bar, S bar, F bar are deterministic. What is random is gamma zero and gamma. Those are the functions whose IID copies entered the random model earlier. And you see, you have the expectation of this. So this means this is the susceptibility at time t. And this stands for the probability that the corresponding individual has not be reinfected by time t, has not be either infected or reinfected, depending whether the guy was initially infectious or susceptible. This is the probability that it has not been infected or reinfected by time t. And here, you see, so you have to think as time s. So this is the rate at which new, so to speak, this is the rate at which new infection enter. So this is, so you have to think of s to be being a time of infection. So this is the susceptibility at t minus s if you have been infected at time s. And this is a probability that you have not yet been reinfected, having been first infected at time S. This probability that you have not yet been reinfected by time T. And you have to take the product of gamma of T minus S times this exponential and take the expectation of that old guy. And this is the limit of this pair. Okay, so again, existence uniqueness of the solution to this equation is, you have to prove it, but it's nothing difficult. It's an exercise that I guess most of you would do easily and quickly. Okay, and once you have this, okay, so. Now, of course, I just have the renormalized force of infection and total infectivity. The renormalized total susceptibility and total force of infection in the population. And I'm interested that, of course, in following the proportion of susceptible infections, etc. So if we can simplify the model by putting together all infected individuals, whether they are exposed or infectious, we put them in the same compartment, I, and we put the susceptible and recovered individuals in the same compartment, S plus R, because a recovered individual will sooner or later become susceptible again. So it's natural. A recovered individual is a susceptible individual with susceptibility zero, exactly as an exposed individual is an infected individual with activity zero. So we could split in more compartments, but to make life easier, I choose to use only two compartments. And if I do it this way, then once we have solved this equation, two-dimensional system of equations, then I know those quantities, and then I can compute the limit of S bar n, I bar n in my model as n goes to infinity, and it is given by those quantities. Okay, now let me discuss a little bit this system of equation. Okay, you see, there is a major, I'm sorry, not this one, but this one. Okay, there is a major difference between the way lambda, you see the random function lambda enters the limit, lambda zero, of course, enters the limiting equation only through its mean. So that makes us a rather simple equation. Rather, gamma, you see, gamma enters the limiting equation through a complicated expectation of a function of gamma times the exponential of integral, blah, blah, and the same with gamma zero. So, and of course, the appearance of the exponential is due to the fact that, to the possibility of reinfection. Now, so in the case of the SIR model, our model is really the same as the one in Kermack-McKendrick. In the case of the SIRS model, with infection age, infectivity recovery, infection age recovery rate, and varying susceptibility, our model in general is different. This is not the same as the model of Kermack-McKendrick. Kermack-McKendrick, there is no real probability in their papers, and they never wrote a model like this. However, if you assume that gamma I of t is some deterministic function evaluated at t minus, now not the time of infection, but the time of recovery of the individual, rho deterministic, then, which is zero and r minus, then our model is equivalent to the 1932 paper, to the model in the 1932 paper of Kermack-McKendrick. Okay, now maybe I hope I have a couple of minutes to say a few words about endemic equilibrium. So if I define gamma star to be the limit as t goes to infinity of gamma of t, in the simplest case, you can think that gamma star is just one. Okay, in the classical model, gamma star equals one, but we can assume that gamma star is one. Recall, I forgot to say, I should have told you about that earlier. I'm sorry, in my talk. R0, the mean number of people that one infects during its time of infection. R0 is obviously the integral from 0 infinity of lambda of t dt, because, okay, an infected individual infects at rate lambda of t during all the time when he's infectious. So the mean number of guys he infects is, okay, I'm sorry. The mean number of people an infectious infects at the start of the epidemic, that is when all the rest of the population is essentially all the rest is susceptible. If not, my statement was wrong, then R0 is, which is a well-known quantity, is an integral from 0 to infinity of lambda of t dt. So we assume that R0 is finite, that also the expectation of one over gamma star is finite. Then if R0 is less than this quantity, which in classical case would be one here, then as t goes to infinity, the force of infection goes to zero and the epidemic dies out. If R0 is strictly bigger than this threshold value, then there exists a unique endemic equilibrium, which is given by S bar star is 1 over R0, and F bar star is unique solution of this equation. It is easy to see that this is a unique solution. And we conjecture, but we have not been able to show so far, that under this assumption, as t goes to infinity, those two quantities converge to the unique endemic equilibrium. We could show under some additional assumption of lambda that f bar of t does not go to zero. If we had an ODE model, it would be almost essentially finished. It would be easy to conclude this. But with those Volterra equations, it's much more delicate. Okay, so some references. So first of all, references to our work. So this was the first paper with Guodong Pang, which should appear soon in Analysis of Applied Probability on non-Markov epidemic models. Then there is a paper applied to COVID together with Raphael Faurien last year. On the SIR model with varying effectivity in SIAM Journal of Applied Math. And we have another paper on multi-patch, multi-group epidemic model. And finally, the last part of my talk is about this work together with this PhD student from Cameroon, epidemic models with varying effectivity, immunity, susceptibility. Now, some references to other authors. There should be much more, of course, but that would be too long. Okay, this is a good book, good recent book, which talks about many kinds of mathematical models, essentially deterministic models of epidemics. Those are the two papers I was telling you about from Kermack and McKendrick, 1927-1932. And those are, those are papers by Wang, who it's not exactly epidemics, but he gives limit theorem for age and disease-dependent stochastic population models, which are non-Markov. These are non-Markov convergence of stochastic models, which are similar to the kind of limits that we get in our works. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Let's thank the speaker very much for the very interesting talk.